Text number 28 is on page 360. Yesham tuntakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva muhanir mukta bhajante mandradavrata. Yesham, whose, to, but, antagatam, completely eradicated, papam, sin, jananam, of the persons, punya, pious, karmanam, whose previous activities, te, they, dvandva, of duality, moha, delusion, nirmukta, free from, bhajante, engage in devotional service, mam, to me, dridavrata, with determination. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. Purport. Those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regulative principles of religion, who have acted piously and who have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then gradually they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees. For in the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2 that if one wants to be liberated, he must render service to the devotees. Mahat sevam dvara mahurva muktes. One who associates with materialistic people is on the path leading to the darkest region of existence. Tamo dvaram yoshitam sangi sangam. All the devotees of the Lord traverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. The impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. Unless one is reinstated in his own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality or to be fully engaged in his transcendental loving service with determination. What did you hear? Yes? Two microphones are floating around. Here comes one of them.
One thing that I hear, which is towards the end of the purport, is that one can understand the Supreme Personality of Krishna only through devotional service.
Thank you. What else did somebody hear? Nahardev.
That persons who actually perform devotional service are devoid of all sinful activities. That's one thing I heard. So obviously here where Krishna is referring to pure devotional service. Second thing also I heard was...
So what was the first thing? That those who engage in pure devotional service are free from sinful activities.
Yes.
Okay.
The translation was that people who have acted piously in their previous life and devoid of sinful activities engage in devotional service. So it's kind of, you can conclude that people are actually performing devotional service or pure devotional service are free of all sinful reactions. So that's one thing I could hear. And the second thing was if we serve the pure devotees, then that helps us open the door for liberation.
Nice. So for your point, which was that devotional service is the only way to attain Krishna.
Krishna only through the process of devotional service.
So, does Krishna say that in the Bhagavad Gita?
There are actually two places in the Bhagavad Gita where he says that. One is, I believe, in the 11th chapter. It's probably the final verse of the 11th chapter. And another is a verse in the 18th chapter. Let's see if we can find those.
Matkarma krinma paramo is the verse in the 11th chapter. And bhakti mama bijanati, in case you're looking it up in your... So those are, anyway, those two verses are there. There's one at the end of the 11th chapter where Krishna says, only by devotional service can I be known, and bhakti mama bijanati, similar statement Krishna makes. And to back up your verse, your statement, those who, is there some cross-reference?
Actually, the first statement which I made is the verse itself.
Yes.
In the verse which we're talking.
Okay, but a cross-reference. Another verse that says those who engage in devotional service must be, if they're, for instance, chanting Hare Krishna, they must be liberated souls. Anything like that?
Yes.
Aho batashwa pachato gariyan yajiva gre vartate namatupyam. You can look this one, it's a very important verse. Aho batashwa pachato gariyan yajiva gre vartate namatupyam. Tepus tapaste juhuvu sasana arya. Brahmanachur brahman. Brahmanachur nama grinanti yete. Which essentially, it's Devahuti speaking to Lord Kapiladev, and she says that how wonderful it is that if someone is able to put the name on their tip of their tongue, just if it barely touches even the tip of their tongue, then it should be understood that such a person who can do that has already performed all kinds of ritualistic sacrifices from the Vedas, has gone on pilgrimage, and is free from all sinful reactions because they're able to chant Hare Krishna.
Page 216 of Shloka book.
Page 216 in the Shloka book. Got it? 216. Okay, let's chant it together. Aho batashwa pachato gariyan yajiva grevartate namatubyam te putabaste juhuvu sasna arya ramana churnama grananti yete. Translation together. Oh, how glorious are they whose tongues chanting your holy name, even if born in the family of dog eaters. Such persons are worshipful. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices. What else did anybody hear? Yes. And then say, yes.
Samsrutim ghoram yannama vivasho grunan tatah sadyo vimuchyeta yad bibheti svayam bhayam. So that says, living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified.
Nice one.
And another point I wanted to make on this verse, it says persons who have acted piously in previous lives, they are eligible. But on the other hand, in Queen Kunti's prayers, it says, Janmaishwarya Srita Sribhi Edamanam Udanvitaha
Naiva Madapuman
Edamanam Madapuman Naiva Arhatiya Pidhatumvai Tvama Kinchana Gocharam. So does that say that that's the biggest disqualification for those who have, in other words, who act piously, they will end up in having Janmaishwarya Srita Sribhi. They are the result of acting piously in previous lives. So on one hand, we have Queen Kunti saying it's the biggest disqualification. But here we are seeing that persons who have acted piously in their previous lives, they are eligible.
Mm-hmm. Well, even a pauper is proud of its penny. So it's a matter of consciousness more than it is of situation. Because a poor man can be just as puffed up and ineligible, even without material opulence, as you've probably experienced on Sankirtan, you know, and a, a person who has performed pious activities in his previous life, if they are have the right kind of association, then they can take to Krishna consciousness readily. So it's more of the matter of identification in that verse. Janmaishvai Shruta Shribir. In other words, what she's saying there is if you become intoxicated by it, those things, like Prabhupada used to compare them to zeros, because when he came to America, he said, material qualifications due to pious activities are like zeros, and you have a lot of them. So, confirmed. It's really bizarre. So, so these material qualifications, if Krishna is in front, then they become an asset. But if one becomes simply intoxicated by them and becomes mad, nunam pramata kurute vikarma, then that's major disqualification. And as he points out in the Ishapanishad, you know, this materialistic civilization is like the more and more material assets we get, it's like raising the fever. It's supposed to be 98.6, but it's going up and up and up, and it's a material fever. So it becomes disqualification because of that. And also, you know, Krishna mentions that those who begin yoga, even for a short amount of time, then they die. They're not perfected on the path. They may go to the heavenly planets. They may come back in an opulent family. And Prabhupada mentions there that that may give them an opportunity to have some a little bit of leeway to practice something because they're in an opulent situation. Like a lot of the hippies in the 1960s, a lot of them came from really wealthy families. And in, Hare Krishna, Nandasuta Prabhu, welcome. This is the president or vice president of the Seattle Temple that has come to visit us. Hari Hari Bo! So, I was saying that... Oh, the hippies, yeah, they came from wealthy families, mostly, and then, you know, they had plenty of time and money to waste, so they just hang out, and they were... Yeah, they got wasted. But they got picked up easily, too, by Prabhupada when he came. So that goes to this idea also that's mentioned in this verse that by association of pure devotees, then one becomes advanced. Satyadeva Prabhu, you have a point?
Krishna's, in this verse, is really, he's mentioning one of the levels of devotional service that we go through. And really, he's describing the nishta stage. Because he's saying one can engage in his service with determination if da 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 da. Right, and if so, consequently, we can understand if we're having trouble being steady in devotional service, it's due to one of those areas. Maybe our activities aren't so pious, and maybe our background is also we're dealing with some of our past bad habits. So, one who's engaged in pious activities in his previous life, he's going to come into this life but not so many bad habits and so many anarthas, you know, that would, you know, interrupt one's progress. Maybe more attached to intoxication or illicit sex or gambling or those, you know, meat eating. If you did that in your past life, you're going to come into this life with already those anarthas in your heart that makes it difficult to engage in devotional service. And another one is if you're engaging due to bad association in impious activities, then you're going to develop attachments in this life and develop anarthas. And the other is duality, being overcome by duality. If you're overcome by duality, identification with the mind and the body, then that also is going to make it difficult to be steady, have steady progress. So Krishna is here describing the really nishta stage of bhakti. Let us all move up. There's one empty space right up here, too.
Hare Krishna. A nice point, Satya. Thank you very much, Prabhu. And in that purport, Prabhupada mentioned that by slow degrees one advances on the path of devotional service. And before one comes to this stage of steadiness indicated by this verse, Dhridavrata, and which Satya Prabhu mentioned as Nishta, or where you actually have some standing in devotional service, there is a stage called Anishta, where you're performing devotional service to come to the point of steadiness, but you're unsteady. And as in any process, one must endure going through that unsteady process to come to the steady situation. Prabhuji.
Thank you very much. I was just thinking of that as my analysis point for the purport, and I was thinking, I saw the word determination, I thought, oh, I'd like to be determined. So then I was looking at the purport, and it was saying that unless one is reinstated in his own constitutional position, he can't be engaged with determination. Mm. So then what's our own constitutional position? It says you can't, says that if you actually want to be liberated, then you have to render service to the devotees. So in order to know who, in order to be reinstated in my own constitutional position, I need to render service to devotees. And what do devotees do? How do you render service to devotees? Is that all the devotees of the Lord traverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. So if I can serve the devotees to help recover the conditioned souls, then I'll be situated in my own constitutional position and then be able to have determination. Is that an accurate assessment?
Sounds good to me. Thank you very much. Yes.
Maybe I forget the Sanskrit, but maybe you can remind us wherein Krishna mentions in the... Krishna actually mentions in the Brahma Samhita, but that at the end of the Brahma Samhita, in the chapter we read every Saturday, that that theistic conduct, cultivation of knowledge, and
perseverance in practice. Slow degrees.
Is achieved by slow degrees. So, yeah. So it's important to have theistic.
Pramanais tatsaracharais tarabhyase nirantaram bodhayanatmanatmanam bhaktimapyutamam labhet. So that verse says that pramanais, first of all, you have to have scriptural evidence. You know, you're living your life shastra chakshu. You're referring everything to shastra, and that way you have vision. You know, that's how you're acting. And that's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also. You know, we're born into ignorance in this world, so what do you do? Take shastra. Follow the shastra. Pramanais tatsaracharais. And that means that there's proper conduct. And that goes towards following the regulative principles of freedom. Like, as mentioned earlier, the four regulative principles that were... have been given down to us: no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. Following those gives one sobriety to be able to not touch the modes of material nature and come to the mode of goodness. Otherwise, it's like trying to light a fire while pouring water on it simultaneously. Pramanaits saracharais tarabhyasir. Abhyas means that... practice means to do something over and over again until you become proficient at it. And Prabhupada mentioned that by practice you can attain anything, actually. You can become expert at anything if you do the right kind of practice. You develop it. So Krishna recommends that in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena Chetasa Ananyagamina Paramam Purusham Divyam Yati Partan Uchintayan. That by that kind of practice in yoga, that you'll come to the perfect stage. So, pramanais tatsaracharais tarabhyasir nirantaram bodhayanat manatmanam bhaktimapyutamam labhet. That kind of activity, practice, referring to scripture, and what else did I say? And correct theistic conduct, correct action, will gradually reawaken our love for God. And of course, in the Nectar Devotion, which Prabhupada mentioned at the end of one of our, at the end of the purport in the Ishapanishad, he said everyone should read the Nectar of Devotion. Then the progressive path of devotional service is mentioned, that it starts with Vidhi Bhakti, and then Vidhi Bhakti leads to, you know, spontaneous devotional service. But one must be dedicated first to that process, and then more spontaneous feeling will awaken and can progress on the path. Thank you. Nice verse. Yes, Vedavit Prabhu.
Just now, Rashikananda Prabhu mentioned that all the devotees of the Lord traverses this earth to recover conditioned souls from this delusion. So, what Prabhupada meant, like all devotees of the Lord means, because I thought only pure devotees of the Lord like traverses the earth to recover conditioned souls, but here it's mentioned all the devotees of the Lord. So everybody is a preacher or?
No, not everyone's a preacher. There are different categories of devotees. Some are called Goshtiyanandis and some are called Bhajanandis. The Bhajanandis are elevated souls who go to one place and they sit down and they'll chant. And they can stay absorbed all the time in hearing and chanting. And then the Goshtiyanandis feel this kind of obligation and compassion to go out and help other people. And amongst the different kinds of devotees, they describe how the devotees who are very beginners, acharyam eva haraye pujam yasharaye hate, na tad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakriti smritaha. The lowest of the devotees are called the prakrita bhaktas, which means they're materialistic devotees, which is sort of a kind of a contradiction in terms. How can somebody materialistic be a devotee? But because bhakti is so generous, anyone who at least even has some kind of connection with it is considered to be a devotee. So what the verse says is the lowest class of devotee is somebody who only sees that Krishna is in the temple and performs puja dutifully to worship Krishna. But then what doesn't he see? He doesn't see the devotees. He can't recognize a devotee. He only sees gods in the temple, but he doesn't see what a devotee is. And he also doesn't treat the rest of the living entities in the world with proper respect, seeing that they're part and parcel with Krishna. So there may be somebody who's doing nice deity worship or, you know, somewhere, but is not a preacher. And that's a low-class devotee. So the preacher is higher. Madhyamadikari ishvare taradineshu balisheshu dusatsucha prema maitri kripopeksha yakaroti samadhyamaha. That's the middle-class devotee. And the middle-class devotee makes distinction. You have to make distinction to preach, right? Because you're distinguishing. You're saying one person is in need of help and another person isn't. And so what the verse says is that he makes distinction and he sees the Supreme Lord. And then he sees also the devotees. He also sees the innocent people who are walking around, and he also sees the envious. And for each, he has a different way of associating. So with the Lord, he offers all his love. For all the devotees, he makes friendship as much as possible. And for the innocent, he gives kripa. He's pouring out mercy as much as possible. And then for the envious, dvisatsu upeksha, which means neglect. Means he avoids them, actually. He doesn't entangle himself with the envious. So he's making distinctions, acting in certain ways. And the uttam adhikari, sarva bhuteshu ya pashyed bhagavad bhavamatmana bhutani bhagavat yatmani esha bhagavatotama. The uttam bhakta means someone who sees Krishna in everywhere, within everything, at all times, all energies, and described in some places that the uttama bhakta doesn't preach. And the reason he doesn't preach is he sees that everyone's already engaged in Krishna's service. He doesn't make distinction. He just sees that everyone's engaged except for himself, out of what's called dainya, or extreme humility, which is practically synonymous with Krishna prema. It's a concomitant element, this extreme humility. So the very, very advanced devotee, the uttam bhakta, sees no necessity for preaching, because even if somebody's in Maya, he sees, well, Maya is Krishna's energy, and therefore he's engaged in Krishna's service because he's serving Maya. So the Uttam Bhaktas, in order to preach, they come down to the middle level, and then they preach from that position so that they can help people all over the world. Does that help?
Because I thought all the devotees of the Lord, that's where I
thought. All the devotees of the Lord? Well, it depends how you define it and how, you know, Prabhupada is saying that all devotees of the Lord, then in this context he's talking about the devotees who are advanced enough to have this vision that, you know, I should show compassion to others. That's the line we're in, coming from, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who revived Lord Chaitanya's message at a time when it was not considered very high class, because of some of the people who were following it at the time were not very high class, except for some, you know, great sadhus, but they were basically keeping it to themselves. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who came from a, you know, from a high class of society, was very well respected, and then he began practicing and preaching Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which surprised a lot of people, because at the time it was not considered very, you know, worthy kind of occupation. And he brought it to the fore, and brought out Lord Chaitanya's message very powerfully. And then, of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his son, whom he prayed for, then brought it more into the world, and then it was passed down. Their mood was to bring it out to everyone. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was revolutionary in the way he preached Krishna consciousness, in that he moved the temple to a very congested place in Calcutta. And generally, you know, monasteries were kept away from the general mass of people, and the monks would be sequestered and not out in the general society. But he did just the opposite. And he also, of course, used all kinds of things in the service of Krishna that previously were considered taboo for sadhus. In fact, he showed up in Vrindavan with one of his disciples riding in a new automobile, a modern automobile, and he was wearing, they were wearing Western clothes and such. And, you know, to make these kinds of statements that everything should be used, anasaktasya vishayanyatarham upayunjita, Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya Muchite, to use everything to spread the message of Krishna. That was their mood. And that was the mood of Prahlad Maharaj too. He says in his prayers that some kinds of devotees, they go off to the forest and they're content for themselves to chant and hear. And sometimes they perform all these vows like silence, not speaking. Said, for me, I'm not satisfied with this. I want to be where all the people are so that I can give them Krishna consciousness. That's the line we come in of Ghoshtiyanandis, extreme Ghoshtiyanandis, who are, you know, very much concerned with making sure that all resources are used to spread Krishna consciousness so that others can take it. Anyway, we respect all devotees, but then we come in this certain line of preachers who have, you know, and we're following in their footsteps. So all devotees, but in that context, it means, yeah, something like that.
Is it appropriate to preach to devotees who aren't preaching, to preach to
the non-preachers? Well, you know, it's appropriate to inspire everyone as much as possible. This is called the fan the spark principle. You know, wherever you see a spark, you can fan it. And that's an art, because you can preach somebody right out the door if you do it improperly. And, you know, there's ways of preaching to people that just immediately make them turn the other way. But, you know, we can inspire everybody to, you know, in a certain way. Preaching means that you have a certain conception and that's been given to you, and you want to convince other people. Otherwise, what is it? I mean, everyone's doing that. Everyone has some conception of life. If you go to the bar and sit down, someone will sit next to you and go, yeah, you know, I'll tell you what life's all about. Really, you know, here's what it is in a nutshell. Everyone's a philosopher. And they'll give you their point of view freely. And that's what we do, too. Only we're hearing from Krishna. And we're going out and presenting what we heard. And so it's natural. I mean, everyone preaches, but there was a saying from St. Francis that you should work all day long in your duties, and you should preach all day long, and sometimes you should even say a few words. And so the idea is, it's not so important what you say, it's more important what you do, like as in, teaching by example isn't the best way to teach. It's the only way to teach. Because if you do the opposite of what you're saying, then you'll just be considered a hypocrite and people will go the other way. And if you don't say much, but you just set an example, then people will follow you naturally. It's more of a natural way to preach. So the answer is yes, but in the right way. Is that all right?
Like in relationships with friends and other types of people, that it's more important to show through service than to just profess your care for them.
Yeah. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So that's better. Show people how much you care, then they'll know. Goprimanande Hari Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Hare Krishna. So now we'll put all the books away in the most orderly and efficient fashion possible on the earth planet. And then we'll have Artik. Hare Krishna.